You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
For years now, the development of Humatau has been a contentious topic for everyone involved. In 2014, Auckland City, using the Special Housing Areas Act, designated 32 hectares adjacent to Otuatoa Stonefields Historic Reserve as a special housing area. This decision has since divided both iwi and public opinion. Coming up, we have a few segments dedicated to this. Firstly, the history of Humatau with Te Pōra Stevens, the Prime Minister giving her two cents on the issue, an excerpt from a speech made by organiser Pania Newton, and some live coverage and discussion around what is currently happening at the site this morning.
With the migration of our people on the Tainui Waka, they brought with them root vegetables so that they could re-establish their mara kai, or vegetables. They recognised that the land was extremely fertile, being volcanic soil. So once they established themselves at Ihumatau, they planted vegetables all throughout the land, which is currently at threat from the development. So the acreages that Fletcher deemed to develop and build 480 houses for what the council say is to meet the housing needs of the growing size of Auckland. All of that land was once vegetables, vegetables that fed all of Auckland or Tamaki Makaurau back in those times when there weren't a lot of concrete jungle structures, but the early arrival of invaders, or settlers, as is commonly known throughout the history books. With the early advent of invaders, the colonisation or assimilation that took place during that early invasion meant that people were driven from their lands, a form of gentrification, being the mana whenua, or the people of Te Waiohua, were removed from their lands because Governor Gray arrived and said, part of a proclamation, you are to cede your sovereignty to us or we will embark war and we'll remove your lands. The decision was made that we wouldn't cede our sovereignty. So then the Waikato Wars commenced, which flushed our people off the lands and outside to what was considered rubbish land outside of Ihumatau, so to a neighbouring piece of land that wasn't considered the healthy land. So how colonisation has impacted on that history is there hasn't been any growing of vegetables on that land ever since Governor Gray's people invaded back in 1863. What has happened on the land is the complete quarrying of our sacred maunga. For example, one of those is Maunga Taketake, quite a prominent maunga or mountain, which is completely quarried flat. That is an example of some of the desecration that has taken place. Mm. It does run deeper. It runs so deep that our people of Ihumatau were restrained and restricted from continuing their ancient Māori cultural practices. An example of which I'll give, here at Ihumatau, for what people consider is the mainland, the North Island. At Ihumatau, within the stone fields, is a native cucumber. It is the only place on the North Island mainland, or Tika or Maui, where that native cucumber still grows. It is called the mawhai. The mawhai, however, which was used significantly by our people for things such as food preparation and orongua, or medicine, we no longer know how to prepare for the ingestion of the mawhai based on various acts and legislation, for example, Native Land Act, Tohunga Suppression Act. These are pieces of legislation that were introduced to prevent our people from continuing the practices of old and to continue, for example, our native language, which then impacts on our identity, things relating to things such as tikanga and whakapapa.
My, grandparents, they would talk about their experience and seeing the injustices that they face. And I feel that hurt and anger through their stories. When you talk to our pakeke, it's hardly ever that you'd get through a story without any anger and tears. And it's amazing that, you know, that is felt through us, and we never had to live through it. And I guess that's the impact that these injustices have on the people of this community.
Yes, that was a bit of history of Ihu Mātou. Up next, we've got a clip of Jacinda Ardern speaking to Rachel this morning on Breakfast about the government's sort of response. But I will chuck in, the Greens have said that they... Chloe Swarbrick, Green MP, tweeted that the New Zealand Greens co-leaders James Shaw and Marama Davidson wrote to Jacinda Ardern about Ihu Mātou in March of 2019, and they never received a formal response. And the letter of that is saying they asked for government intervention to seek a resolution. And I guess the government has pretty much stayed out of it, which we see Jacinda saying.
Yes, yeah. This morning.
And the Green Party, by the looks of things, is very in support of the Mana Whenua. I think, which is good, but it's a bit of a shame that I guess they can't really do anything but offer their solidarity.
Yeah, well, listening to Jacinda this morning, she just didn't, I don't know, this is my opinion.
Well, should we play her and then we can
see
what people think. Here is Jacinda this morning on BFM.
The situation out at Ihu Mātou, because that's been developing quickly overnight. Many people are drawing parallels between this situation and Bastion Point, as well as other land occupations in history throughout New Zealand. Councillors are now urging the government to step in. Local councillor Efeso Collins has said it's time to get back this land and make it the precious, sacred land that it is. What is the government's position?
Well, it hasn't been one that we've been involved with to date. It's obviously something that has involved council, the developers and local iwi, and therefore this is one that we've not been directly involved in. We have, however, in various forms, different ministers and MPs have certainly tried to encourage the brokering of resolution over the dispute. Keeping in mind, not everyone's been of one mind. You know, there have been some iwi who have supported some of the project. There have been others who haven't, and the land involved, of course, has been part of treaty discussions in the past as well. And so, it's something that we've haven't been at the centre of, but we have tried. Really tried to encourage resolution. It has gone through different court processes. All of that's been exhausted, and that's why it is where it is now.
So, yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts? I don't think she really says terribly much. 5395, you can text us.
I was listening to an interview that she was having. I believe it was with MyFM. I'm not too sure. And the excuse that she gave was kind of like, you know, well, we've just got a bit on our plate at the moment. And she's kind of trying to push it away and be like, oh, you know, we've got all this tamariki stuff going on and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, well, just have a fucking spy. Have a spy. You've got to talk about it. I don't understand.
Yeah, and it's difficult, you know.
And especially, I didn't even know that, but if even the Greens are like, sending your messages.
And she's going on, you know, the court processes have been exhausted, et cetera, et cetera. You know, foreshore and seabed, and that's pretty recent memory. 2005, you know, the government got involved in the court process there.
Yeah.
Basically took away the right.
I'm just curious as to how long this thing is going to go on. for. You know what I mean? How long they can stay there before.
Well, I think a while, and I think the people there think so too. Here is Pania Newton last night. She's one of the organisers down at Humatau, and here's a little excerpt from a speech she gave last night.
We will not be leaving, but we will be taking back the whenua! Yeah. What we are asking from our whānau and our supporters here tonight is to hold the front lines. Our peaceful kaupapa remains. We aren't here to get arrested, but we are here to ensure that no machinery destroys the wahitapu, the archaeological sites that lay across our whenua. This is a rare cultural heritage landscape that we all need to protect. Our values are based on parihaka. We follow the lessons of Tohu Kākahi and Te Whiti o Rongo Mai. We follow the legacies of Whina Kupa. And we stay, and we're peaceful. We're passive, and we're resistant. Tūturu o whiti whakamaua kia tēnā! Haume hui e!
So I was there this morning at the site of the protest. Very tense, very, very tense indeed. Not many people were, you know, up to talk to the media. I think they'd probably been tapped on the shoulder. So I've got a couple of interviews here with a few of the spokespeople from Seoul and from another solidarity group that was there.
My name is Pauline Pohinui Tenoti Nathan, and I am a descendant of Te Waiohua no konei no makaurau marae. So what happened last night, well yesterday, the police came in, 100 police officers came in with Fletcher construction workers, and they stood outside Pania's whare to evict her from the whenua. So upon seeing that, a lot of whānau have came up yesterday, already katoa, shocked to see that the police have taken action without the people knowing. So we came up here yesterday as a stand of solidarity, passive, peaceful resistance to the police. However, they keep trying to build a relationship with us, keeping us thinking that we've got a good relationship. However, they've been patronising us and lying to us and allowing Fletchers to come through, but using their authority and their vehicles to do so. So we allow that, and then they take advantage and get more vehicles to come through. So what happened after that, last night was we had a overnight occupation, a peaceful one. The police were very respectful as we were, and we shared kōrero. And so the kōrero, the underlying kōrero of the whenua, and the reasons why we want to protect is because it is a wāhi tapu or an urupa or cemetery, if you would like. And our ancestors' bones are buried here now. Underneath the whenua, there are aquifers that hold masses of bodies of water that hold our tūpuna's kōiwi or bones. So when the water shifts, those bones shift. So those bones are not just in one place. They're all underneath this whenua here. And that's why we stand here in solidarity to keep it and protect it as sufficient.
Kia ora, Kate. Now, I just want to know, why are you here? Why do you care?
I've been living on this whenua as kaitiaki for about 3 months, and so Organise Aotearoa has been involved in this campaign for a while, and we are very concerned about this campaign and like the idea that capitalist development can just continue to go ahead on contested Māori land that was never ceded, it was stolen. So like, we're not only worried about this land, which is so special in its own right, but the precedent that it would set if this development is allowed to continue. And so like, we just see it as our responsibility to make sure that, we see it as our responsibility as socialists to not only protect this land, but like oppose all kinds of capitalist development on really sacred, like important and contested sites such as this.
Have you been here throughout the night?
No, I was away during the night when we had many people here holding the fort. I was up at 6 a.m. last night, so I saw about 100 officers storming in with Fletcher's spokespeople, and I've seen destruction happen up there from a couple of younger people with Te Kawerawa Maki, who are the one iwi that supports the development. And it was really heartbreaking, honestly, because that village and that house is really loved and it's lived in, and like seeing it being trampled over by these uninvited police was really devastating. And so, like, if that's how I feel just from seeing 100 police officers walking through, then imagine how Manawhenua, who have a centuries long connection with that neighbourhood, feel seeing it getting dug up and carved up and these houses built on it for rich people.
Where are they?
It's like not even comparable.
And have you had any altercations with the police at all?
I haven't had. I've been trespassed from that road. But so far, no confrontation. I know that a few people have been arrested. That's why we have called a mass call out.
Right, so you were down there. I mean, what was it like? Pretty tense?
It was very tense. So I got there just before 9. So the only people there were the people who had been there all night. And it was, just imagine going up the street, there's cars everywhere, there's blockades, there are people flagging you down to make sure that you're there for the right reason. People were tired, there were elderly people. There was a line of police officers blocking the, because there's only one way to actually get to the site.
Yeah, and that's where there's literally one road in and out.
Yeah,
one and road that is where the protesters are, and that's where the police are.
Yes, that's where the protesters are. So there's a line of police officers, I'd say probably between 20 and 30, blocking access, and there are protesters more or less right up in their face, singing songs, showing signs of solidarity. But you can tell that they're all very tired. Yeah.
We were talking a bit about this, but the kind of mood toward the police, did you get a feeling that might have changed overnight a bit?
Well, from talking to people there who did not want to comment, talking to people there, so there was a kind of like a camaraderie between the protesters and the police throughout the night. There was a lot of trust there, and according to some of the protesters, that trust was broken when some police officers, when the police approached the protesters, just asking if they could kind of bring some vehicles in, just so they could, so they could swap out some officers, because you must imagine they've been there all night. So it sounds pretty justified, but while they were moving vehicles in and out, they also let in some Fletcher Building trucks and cars. And looking down the street, there's a lot of hivers people. There's a lot of fences, and I believe there's like a tractor a crane down there as well. Yeah.
And the people there, was it a kind of quite a mix of ages, or was it quite?
There was every kind. It was Maori. There was Pakeha. There was Portuguese people there. There was all ages as well. It was incredible. Little kids there as well, and they'd obviously been there all night. People were bringing in resources, so they were bringing food, they were bringing toilet paper, they were bringing things to block the road with, primarily cars. There was a smattering of different people. It was really, really nice to see.
So the people who are arriving when you were there, they can't actually get in, can they?
Well, they can't get in through the road, but
right.
Some live developments that I've seen, people are just jumping over the fence with tinoranga teratanga flags and kotahitanga flags, and just running up, and police officers are now having to spread out even more to stop people from going around. It's no vehicles are getting in whatsoever, and they've set up tents. The whole road is just occupied, more or less. This big space.
And it's peaceful. It's a bit tense, but at the moment.
The kind of mood there is that people do not care if they get arrested at all. Nobody cares. They're willing to get arrested, and it just, I feel like right now it's very tense, and I think it could escalate if things are pushed. So I don't think anything will happen today in terms of the police moving people on, but it is, like I said, I don't know how else to explain it. It's just a very tense atmosphere there. But at the same time, very sweet, because there were people singing songs, people sharing food, people telling stories. And I just, yeah, I feel bad.
Yeah, and Fletcher's. So the whole thing is Fletcher. I don't want to say it's Fletcher's land, because they own the land
through some process.
They're on the deed, we'll say. Were they anywhere to be seen?
They were on the site. There were nobody from Fletcher was where the protesters were, mm-hmm. and probably with good reason. They were all, from what I could see, so you must imagine that we are right down the bottom of the road, and you can only look straight down, and there's a bunch of Fletcher building fences up, and employees walking around with hard hats and high-vis jackets and stuff like that. But nowhere around the protesters, no.
How many protesters are there? Is it pretty?
Well, when I was there, it was probably around 100.
Okay,
and
that's pretty good.
And climbing, I'd say. Because people are there for the long run, I'd say. People are rocking up with camper vans, with sleeping bags, bringing food.
Because the call out for people to come has been made, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it's enormous.
I've seen all of my social media, things like that. People are...
It's been amplified because there is a similar thing going on in Hawaii with Mauna Kea, you know that, right? Mm. So they've kind of collaborated through social media as well, and kind of given each other a little bit of a spotlight too.
Someone's texted in saying that there are alternative ways to get in. We'll see what happens, won't we?
I'm very interested to see how it progresses. Not today. I think I know that it'll be fine today, but just over the coming weeks, because I feel like a lot of people are there for the long run.
Because people are making comparisons to Bastion Point, and I think that's a fair kind of comparison to make.
Yeah.
Hopefully it doesn't end in the same way.
One can only hope.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.